Well, you see how easy this is. Now if you look at how they move money around and how the in-your-face money laundering, folks. This is what this is. This is corruption and fraud. Some of the Bidens are great at the money laundering part. They got 20 shell corporations. But guess who's getting the? Guess who's going to be controlling the funding to rebuild Ukraine? We pay to destroy it, and guess what? The Hillary Clinton Foundation gets paid to rebuild it. Right. Yep. All right, welcome to the podcast. We are in the same studio today, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for downloading. If you're just listening, if you're watching or watching the clips, thanks for watching as well. And just for a quick mention, so I don't forget, if you haven't downloaded our app yet, I'm noticing we're getting a lot of downloads. And the cool thing is when the Morning Mics program is going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm seeing the view count go up and up and up, which is awesome. Yeah. So I know we're only, you know, we're still in the dozens. I'd like to get into the hundreds and eventually thousands. But it's a cool program. If you haven't listen to it. It's a quick 15 minutes, a quick morning rundown 3 days a week of the top five topics, 3 minutes each.
Do a great job.
Yeah, do an awesome job.
It's tough. When we fill in, it's tough.
Yeah, we screw the whole thing up. We blow the whole schedule. But they do awesome, and they're funny. I love it. It's a quick, you know, down and dirty 15 minutes, top five items of the day, and you get your day started off on the right foot. They were saying this week, like, it's so negative all the time, but I think they're hilarious. They take the negative stuff that's going on. And of course, the negative stuff isn't the news.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah,
I mean, carjackings again. Rochester had another, you know, record-breaking night. I mean, it's incredible how that was going on. And so
what's amazing is like the Democrats just sit around and watch this happen.
In every city. It's insane.
Yeah, I sent you an article earlier this morning about Philadelphia. Let me see if I can find it. It's not that it's anything out of, you know, anything that we don't know about, but let's see here. Philadelphia swarmed by alleged juvenile. Juvenile looters targeting the Apple Store, Lululemon, and Foot Locker.
Yeah. Because they're starving, Mike.
They're starving.
They're starving. They need food.
They just need a little piece of ham and some turkey to get them through.
They need clothes and food. Yeah. That's only fair. Yeah. I mean,
And once again, I know we've all heard this joke, but Foot Locker is not missing one pair of working boots.
No.
All the Nikes.
Yeah. Well, some of those Nikes, I mean, oh my God.
Crazy.
Talking about thousands of dollars for a pair of sneakers.
Thousands of dollars. I was talking to my daughter, and she said that one of her friends has a pair of shoes worth $1,200.
No way.
I'll never
forget the most expensive pair of shoes I ever bought. We were just starting in business. This is like 30 years ago now, right? Crazy to think. And I remember somebody told me that maybe my dad or something, you got to have a decent pair of shoes, right? And so I went up and I bought a pair of Johnston & Murphy's. They're like $120 at the time.
Yeah.
The most money I have ever spent on a pair of shoes. Boots I've spent more money on since because boots are more expensive, you know, hunting boots and whatnot.
Well, there's a purpose to them.
I still don't spend more money on shoes. Like, I'm wearing, Skechers and, $40,
These Nikes use $500. You can't tell me you're not running faster. It's different when you're going to go out.
I wouldn't leave the house in those shoes.
It's different when you're going to go out and buy a pair of, waders or something. You're going to use them.
Yeah, you could use them.
First of all, you're going to use them for the next 30 years.
Right.
And there's a purpose to them, right? They're more expensive, but I can walk through the water with them, right?
But if I bought, if I had $500-$600 pairs of shoes, I'd be afraid to leave the house. I wouldn't get off the carpeting.
Well, they're targeting the Apple Store here, Glenn, because they want jobs, and that's the only way to get a job is to make sure you've got an Apple iPhone. So,
well, it'll be like Chicago. Yeah. We talked about this the other week with Mike Spiraza. Chicago is now forced to open, or is talking about opening, a government run grocery store in the inner city because
could you imagine
they've
that?
All left. Well, the plan is to fight the communism with more communism. That's going to work really well.
Could you imagine how inefficient? First of all,
Walmart's pulled out. Costco's pulled out.
That's right.
All the stores have pulled out. Now, Target, have you heard? Target's now closing stores across the country.
Yeah.
Target is now going through and assessing all the stores across the country.
Good old liberal Target.
Liberal Target. They put a Black Lives Matter that they ripped down the smash of the window. I thought that'd be some sort of a shield. Remember that?
Yeah.
We're just going to put up this plywood and we're going to spray Black Lives Matter on it. Hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag BLM. Yeah. And we'll be safe as they rip it out and use that same plywood to smash the window with.
Sad.
It's pathetic.
There'll be nothing left in these inner cities. The problem is, this is when it starts to spill over into the...
Oh, yeah.
This is where it gets ugly.
Well, they want it. That's what they want. That's why people like the governor of New York... you know, Kathy, the ice queen, Kathy Hochul, is you know, they first tried the push for Section 8 housing in the suburbs, because that was only fair.
Yeah.
Now, they couldn't get that through because the people in the suburbs are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, they're busing in illegal immigrants in the middle of the night. And I tell you something, if these Democrats like Mark Poloncarz were proud of what they were doing, they would have a welcoming party at noon.
That's right.
At noon, high noon, they'd have a press conference welcoming our newest community members off the bus so that the whole community
could
see these family units that are getting off together.
Yeah.
The husband, the wives, the two kids.
Yeah.
You know, the things that we see in our country, right?
Not happening, by the way.
No, it's not happening. They're bringing them in at 2 o'clock in the morning, so nobody sees.
And
they're all 23-year-old males, right? Yeah. Or 18 to 25-year-old males.
Yep.
Some of which are from the Congo.
Yep.
I don't know about some of the social norms in the Congo, but I'm just thinking that maybe they're a little bit different than the Western world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Yep.
Maybe not.
Nope.
Maybe they're exactly like us. I don't know. If they're exactly like us, why would they want to come here?
Right.
Why are they aspiring to come here? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
It's fentanyl up again, by the way. There was another report.
Yeah.
I think it was out of Fox News.
Well, good for the Republicans. I mean, at least part of them, I should say. Good for the 5 or 6 Republicans that are the extreme right wing, according to the media, that's holding this garbage up. No, shut the government down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down
until
there's no more money. Take the money going to Ukraine and send it to Texas.
Which they didn't
send it to the border.
Which they didn't do last time, right?
Just
kept it open. What do you need? What do you need?
Look, we're out of control. The founding fathers gave the power of the purse to Congress, and the Pentagon. The Pentagon goes, yeah, you know what? We're just going to exempt Ukraine funding from the budget. So, ha-ha, screw you, Congress.
Meanwhile, we just went over $33 trillion. If you go online and look at the clock, it's moving fast, right? So we're on our way to 34, 35.
Can you even
40,
see the numbers
50?
Anymore? They just blur. It's like a blur now.
No,
right? It goes so fast.
Oh, no. And good news, by the way, we're refinancing this debt at 5% now, not at 1%
that
or 0% like we were doing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's really great news.
No, it'll be great.
Yeah, the Fed's talking about keeping rates higher for longer. I don't know. They're not going to be able to do that.
No, they won't. They'll be cutting interest rates by next year. Mark my word.
Yeah.
And the number one reason I say that is because when you talk to every economist, they say that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And they are typically wrong. So if you take the. It's like saying betting against the casino. It's like saying, you know what? I don't think MGM's going to make money in the sporting books next year. Nah, they're going to figure out a way to make money. They'll rechange the lines, right? All you need to do is look at get a bunch of economists in a room and ask them where they think the market's going to be, and then do just the opposite, and you would be way better
off. Yeah, pretty much. That's usually the way to go, no doubt about it. So the Pelosi, we were talking earlier about the Pelosi stock trader.
Yeah, let me see.
You can follow online now. Some of these folks, we did the game show game last week. We talked about the net worth. I picked the poor ones too. They were like 23, 21, you know, $20 million.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these folks are amazing. I mean, really just, you know, the wizards of smart on some of these are
timing
is impeccable.
Turn this up here. This is somebody who is selling some software that'll track it, which you've pointed out you can get it for free online. But the numbers are really astonishing.
This Democrat senator sold her Aspen vacation home for $25 million.
Woo!
That was just after she sold her Lake Tahoe vacation house for $36 million.
But by the way, why do they own these big $25, $36 million homes? Well, a big part of it is because the taxation of it, right? So a Feinstein who's telling you your ordinary income tax rates are too low, she's shifting that to a capital asset, which is going to create a capital gain in the future.
Well, or no gain. I mean, they're 1031.
Yeah.
This is why when Donald Trump looked at Hillary Clinton right in the eye and said, you will not get rid of the carry interest deduction, and you know it because all of your – I use it, of course.
Yeah.
All of her big donors donate money to Hillary Clinton. And this is exactly the truth, right? They will never get rid of some of these things. Like they talked about, we're going to get rid of the 1031 exchanges. Yeah, So the big developer strokes a giant check to the Democrats,
right?
Off the table.
Let's listen to her success, though.
Amazing.
That senator sold her Aspen vacation home for $25 million.
It's a sweet
home.
That was
just after she sold her Lake Tahoe vacation house for $36 million.
Amazing.
Only 2 years earlier. Dianne Feinstein has been a member of the political scene for 32 years, and her salary is only $130,000 per year.
crazy.
130 grand a year.
Yeah, well, it's more now. That's a little bit dated, but it's up. Yeah. It's up to probably 180 now. But but listen to this.
If it was up to 580, you're not buying $23 million homes, $36 million homes. You're just not.
No, we're going to put multiple homes. We're going to put the Paul Pelosi onto our research committee.
You make $1 million a year. First of all, most business owners that make that kind of money, they didn't make it throughout their whole life, right? They didn't start making $1 million at 20 years old. They started making $1 million at 50 years old, and it took 30 years to get to that point, right? So my point is, you're not at $1 million a year at age 50 if you did it the right way, the hard way, and you did it yourself. You're still not affording a $23 million home, right?
Multiple ones.
Right.
Those aren't even her primary residences, Mike. Those are her vacation homes. Right. She lives in California. Listen to this, though, and it's all of them. It's all of them now. This is from Nancy Pelosi, stock trader. This is a tweet, a Twitter feed you can follow. Pelosi Tracker is what it's Pelosi Tracker underline or something like that. You'll find it. Anyway, 3 weeks ago, sitting politician bet against the U.S. economy. So far, he's been right. Tom Carper bought $45,000 of PSQ, an inverse ETF on the tech sector, on 8/23, August 23rd. Since then, he's plus 3%, while the market is negative 4%.
Go figure.
Wow.
Go figure.
Man, these guys are so good.
Yeah. And they're not buying. That's some pretty technical strategy. You start getting into option strategies and stuff. I mean, these guys have become very, very slick. It's not just about buying it used to be, okay, I'm going to buy XYZ, then I'm going to vote for or against something. You know, I'm going to short this stock and then I'm going to vote against them, promote that, 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 so the stock goes down. Or I'm going to vote for something knowing that it will benefit the company and the stock will go up. And in a sense, front running. No, they're into option strategies now.
Oh,
they're into shorting the market.
Oh, they're doing butterfly spreads. Some crazy stuff going.
Yeah.
Right? They're very sophisticated. They shouldn't be allowed. Two things. When you go into Congress, I would love to have a congressperson run on or a president run on the following platform, right? Number one, term limits, top of the list. Number two, though, while you're in Congress, for the 8 years or wherever we allow you to serve, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is, you cannot invest in the stock market at all.
Yep.
All your investments are frozen, or your choice is
some kind of a model. Yeah.
Liquidate it, go to cash, or you can buy the Fidelity Balanced Account, you could buy the T. Rowe Price, Target Retire, whatever. Or it goes into a blind something or other where you have no idea, right? Yeah. It just goes into where you pick a 1-5 tolerance for risk and somebody else invests. Maybe it's just broad indexing.
Yep.
Maybe that's it, right? Something that doesn't allow this kind of garbage to go on where, they buy, Tesla stock and then approve a huge, we're going to build, government-funded battery stations all over the country. Of course, Elon comes out and goes, we already got those, you idiots. I did that like 4 years ago, you morons. What Elon can do and what the government can. Going back to Target for just a second, not to digress, but I found WGRZ, thankfully, came up with a list of the Target stores that will be closing, Mike.
Oh.
The full list of locations.
All in Republican run.
You'll be shocked. Yeah. Right in the thriving. The Minneapolis location, the retailer said the decision to close was really difficult.
I wonder if that was after having
that was the one they put
down?
The BLM on. Yeah.
Oh.
That was the one they put the sign on that said, please don't burn our store down. We love you. Hashtag BLM.
Lit it on fire. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else?
I'm shocked, though. I'm surprised you wouldn't stay. I mean, just collecting.
Well,
insurance.
You love them.
Yeah.
You supported them. This is what you supported. Remember, you raised money. You gave money.
Yeah.
And guess what they did with that money? They hired agitators to whip up people in the community to smash and burn down your store, idiots. So there you go. There you go. Nice work. Yep. Where else do you think, Mike? New York City's East Harlem neighborhood. That's going to be one that goes down.
Wow.
I wonder why.
Chicago?
San Francisco, for sure.
San Fran.
San Fran.
By the way, before I forget, San Fran, Democrat San Francisco mayor announces plan to require drug testing, which is good, in an effort if you're going to receive homeless benefits, right? But the funny thing was, in this same passage, they're going to Texas to try to recruit police officers. The funny thing is that the people they sent from San Francisco to try to recruit people...
They didn't come back?
No, they didn't come back!
They defected like North Koreans!
Some of them got jobs in
Texas.
They
get over the wall, like, I'm out! They get over the wall.
It was hilarious. No, they didn't come back.
Well, the other five stores, Mike, like a 3 in Portland, Oregon, and 2 in Seattle.
Portland, Oregon.
5,
wow.
3 in Portland. They're pulling out of Portland together. All of these inner cities, folks, will be food deserts. Wow. You're going to hear that term.
They'll be business deserts. There'll be nothing
left. Business deserts.
Nothing left.
But they'll be. But Target, don't forget, Target. Does Target sell food?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They sell food,
yeah,
right?
For
okay.
sure. Yeah.
Well, I don't go in Target. So Walmart,
yeah.
I know, does.
Yeah.
Costco, for sure. Right? Costco is a food store.
I don't think Target is as big as Walmart as far as like fresh food, but definitely frozen food, all that kind of stuff. You know, aisles of pop and water and chips and
right.
all that kind of stuff. But you can definitely frozen food. You can buy bulk frozen food there. So
So there's going to be food deserts all over the place, business deserts, whatever you want to call them. You know, it's amazing because there's no policing, and the sad thing is. That is the problem. It's not there's no policing. I shouldn't say that. Excuse me.
No.
You're policing your asses off.
There's,
I get it.
There's no ability
there's
to
no
police.
There's no prosecution. There's no ability. You guys are arresting people, putting them in, and they go right back on the street. They're getting appearance tickets.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Well, your point is, no, there is no policing anymore because of the system the Democrats put together where the police officers aren't going to bother arresting these
If you're a police officer and you know that somebody is going to be this carjacking or whatever is robbery, and you know that there's a potential you're going to get an altercation where you're in New York State. There's two police officers that have been brought up on charges recently,
with almost 100% chance that if you do catch that person will be right back
100%.
On the street.
100%.
Why would you bother? Would you bother? You're not going to put your life in the.
It's
in
so
jeopardy.
Sad.
No way.
It's,
you want to go home to see your wife and kids too, and your or your husband or whatever. You want to be able to spend Christmas with your family. Why would you do that? And they know that, right? The Democrats know that. This is you can't be this stupid. I mean, who allows these people to go right back on the streets and say this is a good idea without correcting this right away? You can say, okay, bail reform, our intentions were one thing. But when you look at the fact that in New York State, we are now breaking records in towns like Rochester and Buffalo for the most amount of vehicles being stolen, we can say, okay, look at bail reform, put it in place. It clearly did not work. It's been a total disaster. These towns have turned to shit. We absolutely need to go back in the other direction. They're not doing that. They don't care.
They want to, and they're doubling down.
They're tripling down on it. We invited this liberal on. You actually were on the show with him, and he said things are actually safer since bail reform. That's what his argument was.
Yeah.
His argument was, and his by the way, his argument was if we have even less police officers, cities like Buffalo will get safer.
Well, the
like,
thought was
you can't
the,
even.
The thought was less police officers, less arrests.
Yeah.
Less arrests means less crime.
That's right. Yeah,
like, dude, you got the whole thing backwards, bro. You
could not only, but now we know that, right? Now you can. I mean, literally, auto thefts are up 360% in Rochester.
Right.
They're not up 3%.
No.
We could say, well, 360%. They're up 170% in the town of in Buffalo, and we're in second place.
And they can't blame COVID. They're trying to well, it was a lockdown. People were pent up, whatever. Remember that was the reason for the rioting and the looting and burning. It's like, people had a lot of pent up. We probably should have locked them down.
Now, that was for a little bit of the reason for the increase in suicides.
A lot.
You guys increased suicides because you locked kids in their homes, but it wasn't the reason that they went and decided to steal Nike sneakers from a Foot Locker.
That's right. So check this out. Speaking of COVID, this is huge. This is, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is absolutely ginormously huge. Dr. Fauci was smuggled into CIA headquarters without a record of entry, where he participated in the analysis to influence the agency's COVID-19 investigation, according to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic.
Did he need to do much with these left-wing CIA agents? Probably not.
No.
What are they smuggling him in for?
Well, they smuggled him in because they didn't want anybody to know that he was part of the PSYOP operation, which was hydroxychloroquine. By the way, I think it was the Mayo Clinic and some other hospitals now have come out, as well as the CDC, and said hydroxychloroquine, yes, indeed, is an effective treatment for COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, ivermectin, also an effective treatment. The CDC now approving that.
Right.
Now, mind you, again, keep in mind that if there was any other treatments, they couldn't get the emergency use authorization for these vaccines that clearly don't work. Amazingly, I'm still seeing people online go, signing up for my sixth booster, on our way for the sixth shot, proud to get our sixth shot.
How about
it was
one the other day, local left-wing nutjob got her sixth shot, and she still got COVID. And then she said, well, I was so good hiding working, and I got all my shots, and then I went to a concert,
right.
And I got it at this concert. Well, first of all, you don't know that. But second of all, if you have six shots, and you still got COVID,
right.
And you actually think that was a good idea, you don't need a vaccination. You need a mental
check, man. Yeah,
you need a clinic.
I know people during the COVID, the height of the COVID, that were older, some of our clients actually, that were prescribed by a doctor hydroxychloroquine when they were taking it once a week as a preventative measure,
yeah.
And they to this day have never had COVID.
Yeah.
And but the sad thing is, again, you know, it's all about the money now, and that's, you know, when people talk about the evils of capitalism, you're seeing some of that. Now, capitalism is the best thing on the planet, right, as far as, you know, lifting the masses out of poverty and creating amazing amounts of wealth. But the problem is, this isn't capitalism what's going on. This is cronyism is what's going on,
yeah,
right?
Well, it is socialism. Hey, look, I will give you these government dollars.
Right.
You're going to get this patent.
Unholy marriage between business and government.
Mark my word. We were talking about Feinstein selling $25, $30 million homes. Mm-hmm. This Fauci will be on the board of Pfizer. He'll be on the board of Moderna. He's going to get shares of those companies. Will be blessed with millions and millions of dollars. His family, watch and see. We'll be talking, if you and I are fortunate enough to be around 20, 30 years from now, we'll be talking about the Fauci Trust and watch and monitor that trust and see how big that family trust gets.
Well, you see how easy this is. Now you look at how they move money around and how the in-your-face money laundering, folks. This is what this is. This is corruption and fraud. Some of the Bidens are great at the money laundering part. They got 20 shell corporations. But guess who's going to be controlling the funding to rebuild Ukraine? We pay to destroy it, and guess what? The Hillary Clinton Foundation gets paid to rebuild it, right?
Yep.
And guess who's going to get the contracts to rebuild? Oh, that'll be probably one of the Biden family members or somebody else who's politically connected, right? Remember, it was Joe Biden's brother who got the contract, the multi-billion-dollar contract to rebuild Iraq. No building experience, never been a contractor, right? No idea, right? This is why these projects cost 500 times what they're supposed to cost. This is why when money comes into Buffalo, for example, $25 million to build homes, 5 get built.
Yeah.
And you went, wait a minute, 5? Are these $5 million homes on the east side? Each of those homes would have been built for $250,000 or less.
Yeah.
And yet, where did the rest of the money go?
Right.
And the answer is never, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We can't account for it, or we'd have no idea. Or, I mean, how many times have we seen that in so many places, whether right down the local level or, God forbid, at the federal level between, Iraq and others?
I was telling you, last week on the radio, I was reading an article about the grants that were coming in to the city of Buffalo to plant trees.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, wow. Like, this could be
sweet.
Okay, I'm a big tree guy. I love trees. I plant trees every year. I do think, okay, that's one way to, first of all, I think it's one way to make a community look great. When you drive around, let's say, North Buffalo, all the streets are all treed. They look beautiful. Yeah. You drive around the east side, it looks like shit, right? So, okay, you're going to take some of my tax money and you're going to directly plant trees. Okay, it's a win for the environment. It looks nice. It's going to bring things together.
Yeah.
I'm like, but where's the catch? This is a government agency. Where are they going to screw it up. You read through and you find out that they're paying $1,000 a tree. Now, you and I both know that if they're saying it's $1,000 a tree, by the time it's done, it'll be $2,000 to $3,000 a tree.
At least.
Now, you're talking about $13 million worth of trees. You and I just planted trees. Every year we plant a few trees around our office, 3-4 in the spring, 3-4 in the fall, just so they can start to grow and work their way in and then, plant more. We pay $250 a tree planted.
Right.
Planted. So I got
These are beautiful trees. Big, beautiful trees, Mike. The best trees money can buy.
Well, they really
are. Who owns the nursery?
7-foot tall trees.
Yeah.
You're not talking about little sticks.
Right,
7 foot, right? Planted, beautiful, staked in the ground, right?
Right.
Now, we spent $1,000 and got 4 trees. They're spending $13 million estimating it's going to cost them $1,000 a tree.
Right.
I guarantee that if Wiggle and Lomas negotiate that contract, we'd be getting those trees for about $100, I bet.
Yeah.
Planted in the ground.
But
we'll give you
what?
The $13 million.
But somebody is politically connected.
Oh yeah.
Is getting the contract to supply the trees.
Nursing home, yep. Or the nursing home.
They're gonna make that. Well, that's
nursery.
You can ask Mark Hamister about that. The nursery, and they'll be selling these. Normally normally the trees would cost $250 and sell them for $250.
Yeah.
They're going to sell them to the town for $1,000 or the city for $1,000.
Yeah.
They're going to pad their pocket and make a ton of money. I mean, you could, this is how government works, folks. At some point, we have to go along with these six or so Republicans that are the right wingers and say a fiscal responsibility needs to be the number one thing. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough.
Yep. Sorry. No more studying shrimp on a treadmill. We just don't have the cash. Yeah.
I mean, we need someone who's going to be able to step up on the Washington and say, we have a $7 trillion budget now. Yep. Our goal by next year, go to Congress and say, you give me a $5 trillion budget or this government will be shut down for as long as it takes. I'll tell you what.
Go back to Bill Clinton's budget and then you add a 3% rider in it.
Sure.
Say, here's where we need to be to keep
up with
inflation.
You'd be at $4 trillion today.
$4
trillion today. You're $3 trillion less. That's where we should be, honestly, because we've had zero inflation for a long time, not 3%, right? But the fact of the matter is they want to spend more and more and more and more because the bigger it gets, there's so much more fraud that can be, you know, perpetrated when the thing is ginormous, right?
Yep.
The bigger it gets, the easier it is for people to walk away with pork chops and things like that when they're ordering on government money. Mark Poloncar is looking at you, right? This is how they do it. They make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and the numbers don't even mean anything anymore.
Yep.
Talk about billions and trillions of dollars. It's outrageous. We need to have somebody who has literally the art of negotiation, right? You walk into Congress. Here's what I would do. If I'm the president or I'm somebody trying to negotiate the Speaker of the House, okay, you want to play ball? Let's play ball. Let's find some common ground. All right, I'll tell you what. We won't shut down the government. However, we're going to shut down parts of the government, okay? We're going to fund the things that you don't want to fund. I like Matt Gaetz' idea. Piece by piece, bill by bill, right? We're going to fund the military. We're going to fund border security. We're going to fund veteran affairs. We're not going to fund welfare.
Yeah.
We're not going to fund the permitting process for things like haircuts and bullshit, right? We don't need that stuff. Wipe that stuff out. You can negotiate this and say, here's the half the government willing to keep open as long as we're willing to shut this half down. By the way, the half that gets shut down doesn't get back pay.
No, right.
This bullshit of we're shutting it down. Oh my God, no one's going to get paid. No, we'll get all back pay because nobody lost a nickel the last time.
You got a few weeks off.
Right. It was a 4-week paid vacation, which is garbage. Here's the other way you negotiate. We talked about this with a college loan guy, right? How about this? All right. We understand it's a college loan debt. A lot of kids got entrapped in this because the guidance counselors and the predatory colleges, and that's what they are. These colleges, in a lot of cases, are predatory because they're giving kids advice that they shouldn't be giving, right? Kids look up to these professors. They look up to these counselors.
Yeah.
They look up to these guidance people that are supposed to say, look, here's what it's going to cost versus your return.
Yeah.
But they get hosed because these are not people that are looking out for their best interest.
Yeah.
They're looking out for the college's best interest.
That
should be disclosed.
Yeah,
but it's not.
And they were forced to take Spanish instead of understanding what debt does and how to balance a checkbook.
Okay. But we get it. How about going to those folks? Say, look, I'll tell you what, make you a deal.
Yeah.
We will reduce or eliminate some of this college debt. However, that college debt goes to fund the education department, so we have to then shut down the education department. Mm. Okay, is that a deal? If you would get honest to God, you'd get 80% of Americans on board with that.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at some of these numbers, you know, when you look at the police state a poll that was just done, 72% of all voters, 67% of Dems, 72% of Independents, 76% of the Republicans all agree that the police states. There are things that we agree upon in this country that we're 75-80% agreed upon.
Yeah,
I think college debt and wiping out the if we could do that and make a deal.
Yeah.
I think 80% would be good.
Talk to most people about welfare. It's funny. I vote Democrat. Really.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, well, one of the biggest things I have an issue with is a massive amount of welfare out there. Me too.
Yes.
Me too. I worked as a UAW employee 50 hours a week for the last 30 years. Oh, well, your money went for that welfare. I know it sucks. It's terrible.
But
I'm voting Democrat.
How about the border? How about the border? You want to make a compromise? I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the dreamers. These kids that were brought over here with 2-3 years old, they don't know anything different.
Nope.
It would be almost inhumane to ship them back to El Salvador. So we'll make you a deal, okay? We'll make you a deal, all right? However, before we do anything as far as amnesty or anything else for dreamers, here's the deal. I want a big, beautiful wall.
Yep.
I want it 30 feet high. I want the top barbed wire and freaking razors.
That's right.
I want the bottom electrified.
That's right.
Underneath it, I want you know, electrodes so that when they try to dig underneath it, they explode.
Yep.
I want a minefield
swarm down
on the other side of that.
Can fill it with gators. Yep.
Fill it with gators. I want a secure border. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care what it takes to secure
that's
it.
That's right.
I want put the military there. Put up checkpoints like goddamn North Korea for all I care. Secure the border. Now you secure the border first, then and only then, once we get our handle on that, can we talk about the people that are here and what do we do with them? Many will have to go back,
to be
honest with you.
Yeah.
The ones that are coming in from the, you know, the refugee camps and whatnot, and you know, the ones that are a little bit too rapey, maybe?
Yeah.
Can we send them back?
The ones smuggling fentanyl over the border?
Yeah.
Yeah, those.
Maybe those?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the 21-year-old, you know, working-age male with no wife and no kids, maybe he should go back and build his own country.
That's right.
Maybe he belongs back in South America, rebuilding your own country.
Absolutely, 100%.
And we should support that. We should support them, right? We should help them to do that, which we completely abandoned.
Mexico's a great example of how we should support them. You know how we support them? We go over and get those drug cartels.
Yeah.
We send America's finest over, and within a half an hour, we freaking rip those things apart. Done. 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 You send America's finest over there, I guarantee within a half an hour. Now, we know that a lot of them are Hunter Bidens don't want any of that to happen.
Well, you look at a big problem with Mexico is the corruption in government because they're paid off by the drug cartels.
Yeah.
And in our country, our government's paid off by the drug companies.
That's right. Well,
I mean, it's really not that much different, to be honest with you.
Don't forget, by the way, Obama gave them a lot of guns to protect themselves.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so maybe I rethink it. Maybe it'll take more than a half an hour because they
got these guns.
Oh, by the way, they have the replacement for Dr. Fauci. Her name is Janine Marazzo, and she's a fanatical and outspoken supporter of COVID lockdowns.
Oh, good.
World Health Organization, vaccine and mask mandates for adults and children. Here, you get to listen to her voice.
I mean, can you not read a freaking study?
Yeah, this is the...
Please consider wearing a mask when you go out. You don't need to wear one when you're at home. Masks in young people going to school over the age of 6. All the things we've been talking about. Mask wearing, hand hygiene,
this
and
is the new
distancing.
Fauci, by the way. Look forward to this.
Contributed
it sounds like Gail Burstyn.
He's better. Of this pandemic in other communities.
Masks have controlled the pandemic.
No.
Where did that happen?
There is not
one shred of evidence that the masks have done anything except for make it worse. That's it.
Quite the contrary. This is actually a New York Times. This is back in February 21st of 2023. Earlier this year in 2023, they did a study of studies. Okay? They did the end-all, be-all study of studies. They reviewed all the studies and all the random control, everything they could possibly do, and they came up with the bottom line that the mask mandates did nothing. There's not a shred of evidence that the mask did anything. The most rigorous and comprehensive, New York Times, the most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illnesses, including COVID-19, was published late last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, an Oxford epidemiologist, and its lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Marilyn Damisi, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about N95 masks as opposed to lower quality and surgical masks? Makes no difference.
None
of it, said Jefferson. What about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. Mm. And that's what they did. I can go on and read the article, but that's what they did. They said, look, that school there didn't have as much of it because they were wearing masks. This is what they called science.
Mm.
Everything that they said, well, trust the science. We got to 6 feet, follow the science. There was no science regarding any of this stuff.
None.
Everything
made it all up.
Anything the Democrats say, assume the opposite is true.
Yep.
If they say we're following the facts, assuming that the facts are false. If they say follow the science, assuming they're following fiction. Okay, all this stuff is fiction. 6 feet, fiction. Mask work, fiction.
Yep.
I'm telling you, if they're going to go back at some point, I love Channel 4. Oh, the conspiracy theories are swirling again. I'm like, I'm going to bookmark this Channel 4.
By the way.
For one, the conspiracy theory and the masks come back on planes next month.
That article that Glenn just referenced, Channel 247, that would be a good story.
That would be the one to print.
That'd be a good story.
That'd be the one to put out there. Yeah, that would be the one that...
Like, hey, sorry. You know, remember all those fights you got into at the grocery store? Yeah, it was all for bullshit. By the way, speaking of bullshit, James Comer just subpoenaed and obtained two bank wires revealing Hunter Biden received payments originating from Beijing in 2019 when Joe Biden was running for president.
To the House.
Yeah, Joe Biden's Delaware home is listed as the beneficiary address for both wires from China.
From China.
Now, they're going
money
after
wires
Trump.
From China, which is why Trump got the
They're going after Trump, by the way, for apparently inflating his real estate, which if you look at the real estate that they said he inflated, I actually think he didn't put it down as being worth enough.
Well, they're saying that the Mar-a-Lago place is only worth $18 million. Yeah. Are you out of your mind?
There are 6,000 square foot homes that sold on the street for $60.
If Mar-a-Lago.
I'll be buying tomorrow.
I'm in. If you can sell me Mar-a-Lago for $18 million, I put together an investment group tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
A deal.
Yeah.
I don't even need a. Just boom. I'll sign the papers. I'll find a couple other folks.
I'll tell you what.
You know, boom.
I'll double that. I'll pay
36?
I'll pay $40 million that property.
No problem.
Considering the freaking house down the street at 6,000 square foot sold for $60 million.
Right.
I'll buy that all day for $40 million. This is an absolute disgusting joke.
And it's the judiciary. That's the scary part.
So now the
judges can shut down businesses in New York State. That's what you're saying.
There'll be nothing left.
That's what you're saying. So now if the judge doesn't like what the financial guys are saying or doing.
Yeah.
Are you telling me a judge can issue an order that says I don't like the financial guys? We're going to dissolve their businesses in this state. This is nuts.
Yeah.
There will be nothing. By the way, speaking of nothing left, Florida just passed New York State as the second highest wealthy real estate market in the country. California is still number one.
Yeah.
But New York is now three.
Well, Florida
real estate is not worth more.
Yeah,
New York.
But let me tell you the big difference. By the way, the big difference
sunshine?
Between no. No, but yeah.
Freedom?
But the real estate market is more handsomely divided in Florida.
Right.
What happens in the state of New York is you are paying for your safety and you're fleeing these places. And the same is true in California, by the way. So you've got shitholes like Compton now where you can literally have a house.
I thought you were going to say San Francisco.
Well, yeah, but here's what's happening.
Downtown San Fran.
You want to be in a nice place. Downtown San Francisco is a perfect example of that. You want commercial real estate there? 93% vacant right now.
Right.
They cannot freaking give you. They cannot give you. So what you're happening is you're looking at averages, right? So you're saying, okay, well, these homes in this really safe neighborhood are $3 million here, but these homes over here on the east side of Buffalo, you can have for $5,000, right? And that's what's happening. When you look at the state of Florida, the shitholes, and there was crap holes there, and there still is. But I'll tell you what, we do a lot of business down in Jupiter, Florida, Palm Beach area. Look at Riviera Beach. You know what's happening now? It's starting to clean itself up. There was some bad places in Palm Beach, actually. The city itself was really good, but right outside of that. But it's funny now. You drive through those communities, and there are all these homes are being redeveloped. You know why? Because the people couldn't afford to be in Jupiter, so they said, I still want to be down there.
Right.
And these neighborhoods are cleansing themselves up. That's how you clean up neighborhoods, by the way, through free market capitalism, through freedom, as you pointed out.
Yep.
And what's going to happen is, mark my words, you know what the slum will be? Freaking New York State. That's what it'll be. It won't be Florida.
Yeah.
You'll drive through Florida and you'll be like, wow, that's a beautiful neighborhood. Wow, remember that was a shit neighborhood.
Right.
That's a good neighborhood.
Right.
Where did the slum move? Oh, it moved to Florida. It moved to Philadelphia. Moved to New York. It moved to Philadelphia.
I tell you who the people that get hurt the most, I'll never forget this. We were earlier in our career. We had a client. She's long passed away. I think her name was Natalie, actually. You might remember her. She lived on the east side of Buffalo. And she had a beautiful house. Beautiful, you know, old, you know, brick, stone.
Kept it up good, yeah.
Kept it real nice. Nice street, but it was on the east side. It was dangerous, no question. But she grew up there. She had been there for, you know, 80 years. I mean, she had been there for, you know, her whole life, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad thing is when you have people like that in a city of Buffalo, she watched a home that, you know, she probably paid, you know, back in the 1940s for, you know, $30,000. And today, instead of being worth $300,000, it's worth
$5,000
or $10,000. Now, you contrast that with, to your point, like a Riviera Beach. And that same person who's been living there a long time now gets to actually experience some wealth.
Yeah.
You know, they have value in their home.
Yeah.
You know, they have been able to participate in the growth of the economy, right? When you talk about including, you know, everything is racism and equality and people being left behind, that's why.
Yeah.
They're being left behind because of Democrat policies oftentimes destroy the value of those communities.
How about this, Glenn? You take that $5,000 house that you paid for, and now it's worth $300,000. You go to the bank and you say, I want an equity line of credit for $100,000 so I can start my own pizzeria.
Right.
You can't do that if you live on the east side of Buffalo.
No,
you know
got
why?
Nothing.
Because the bank's saying, I'm sorry, there's no equity in this house.
That's right. The things that you can do, I mean, I was talking to my daughter actually about this. And, you know, people talk about, well, the rich get richer, you know, the wealthy, you know, the rich get richer and the poor, it's tough, you can't get ahead. And there's some truth to that.
Yep.
You know, when it comes to things like, you know, bank fees, ATM fees, like if you don't have money, if you don't have some level of wealth, you got to be able to break through that. So you're paying higher rates for cars because you don't have the credit score.
Yep.
You're paying, you know, ATM fees wherever you go. I don't pay any ATM fees. All my ATM fees are reimbursed because I have a high enough balance in the account, right?
Yeah.
And so, the more money you're able to gain and the wealth you're able to get, the easier kind of things become from a financial standpoint because of those benefits. And again, I go back to Natalie on the east side of Buffalo. There's no equity in your home, and you go to buy a car, you don't have that credit. You don't have that net worth. You know, you don't have that score that you need.
Yeah.
You're paying more in interest now.
Yeah.
You got to pay a higher loan rate. You know, that hurts all the way around. Again, contrast that to with Natalie in Riviera Beach, who now has $300,000 in equity. Maybe she does take a home equity line of credit, Mike, and uses her line of credit to buy that car. Because now as that's deductible, it might be a lower rate.
How about Natalie just needs more income, and she can now afford a reverse mortgage?
There, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look at how would you like $2,000 a month for the next 30-something years or as long as you live.
That's
wonderful.
Right.
Okay.
All kinds of options there for people, right? Because when the tide rises, all boats rise with it. And that's what Republicans used to say.
Yeah.
That's what the conservative message used to be.
Yes.
I don't even know what the message of Republicans is today. I don't know what it is. We're not Democrats. We're not as crooked. We don't steal as much. What is it? I don't even know. We talked about that for a while. I want to get back to, let's get back to Reaganism and conservatism and, you know, the benefits of a rising economy, the benefits of a growing pie, that everybody can experience that growth so that everybody has an opportunity to get ahead, whether you're, you know, black or Hispanic or wherever you're starting in life, whatever your position is. You know, when the economy improves and values rise, and whether the home values or whatever, everybody wins in that case.
Yep.
But man, if you are stuck in a Philadelphia, a New York City, a Rochester, I mean, I'm talking about Rochester like it's Compton now, for God's sakes. It's Rochester. Rochester used to be a sleepy little city in upstate New York, right? It was a nice, you know, Irondequoit Bay and it's a beautiful area. Used to be. Now it's like, you know, I lock my doors if I'm going to the office of Rochester.
Yeah,
it's insanity.
Shame. It's a shame.
It's a shame. It's just tragic.
And killing opportunities everywhere.
Gosh.
And to your point, the answer is always with these communities, more government intervention.
More government.
And the fact of the matter is, it's the opposite, right? Look at the state of Florida. Look at what they're doing and look at the opportunities. Limiting, by the way, things like welfare. You know, San Francisco is just talking about drug testing. Guess who's been doing that for a long time?
Yeah.
State of Florida. Guess what happened when they did that? 30% of the people dropped out of. Well, why did they do that? Well, look, if my brother-in-law who works at a car parts store needs to get drug tested, I would think as a taxpayer we should be demanding that if we're going to hand these people free handouts, they should get drug tested too, right?
I don't think most of the homeless people, are they getting any handouts? Are they getting anything?
Are
they?
First of all,
how do they even get it? I mean, they don't have a home. I mean, what do they go? Do they pick up at the office?
Well, in the state of New York, 30-something% of the welfare checks are actually cashed out of the state. So they're borrowing mailboxes. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a mailman, and he heard us talking about that. He goes, Mike, I've got one better for you. If you go on the east side, go to the vacant lots. They will put a mailbox up on that vacant lot for the first week of the month just to get their check. They'll grab the check out of the mailbox, take the mailbox with them.
I don't get it. But again, if you're homeless, though, I get most of these homeless people in California, Philadelphia,
they're
mentally ill. They're drug addicts. I mean, I can't imagine
The drugs have been
disastrous.
You know, it went from welfare being the number one problem to drug abuse. And it's.
You see some of these videos with this just
They're like zombies.
Oh, my God.
They're zombies.
God. It's
like,
I mean, and the fact that the government is not doing anything for these people, I mean, at least the city, the town, the community should be saying, whoa, full stop. Like, we should. should be, if we were serious, we'd be we should be building hospitals all over this country right now for those people.
Well, we're closing them.
Clinics.
Right? City of Buffalo, the psych ward, remember the psych ward, is now being turned into a hotel. Right?
Hotel. It should be a psych ward
again.
Make it a psych ward. That's the thing. These people need psychiatric help. Now, the reason that we have all these psych wards that closed was back in the 60s, again, with the government, they abused a lot of these people, sadly. Mm-hmm. They were doing experiments and things like that. CIA looking at you.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it doesn't mean so we had this, we went through a big wave in the 60s and 70s. That was a deinstitutionalization where we shut these places down and said it was more humane to put them out on their own.
We didn't want people to have that stigma. I will say, though, that I had family members. These are older family members. Many of them have passed. But that did get the help they needed at those places. And they did go out and become productive members of society.
Happy.
With the right medication and with the right help.
Yep.
And I do believe some of these people are born with
100%.
Mental illness problems that can be fixed with medicine. I've seen it happen.
Yeah,
I've seen relatives come out of these places and go, wow, you look totally different.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I've got the right medication now.
Right.
As long as I take this every day, my chemistry in my brain is good.
Yep.
And they're out, productive members of society, working and doing great things.
Yeah.
Right. Now we're saying, well, we can't put them in that institution because they're going to be marked forever. And guess what happens? They go out, they abuse drugs, they become homeless.
It's sad. It's a tragic story.
Yep.
So anyway, we mentioned Rochester before, and you mentioned, I think, they're number one or number two in auto theft. So again, now probably a good time to mention that this show, again, has been brought to you by our home and auto department.
Sorry,
TFG Home and Auto.
We talk to you about all the abuse out there.
Every week.
To your point, if you can save money shopping home and auto and shopping over 25 companies to do so, you do that. Right?
Yep. And smashing these windows. I mean, it's been a repeat in Rochester. By the way, I used to work in downtown Buffalo. Mike and I used to work down at Payne Weber. And in the 2.5 years that we worked downtown, I had my car broken into 4 times.
Remember the one time?
The car smashed, the window smashed 4 times. To the point where I called my insurance agent, Eileen. She's great. She's retired, obviously, long I retired. But Eileen, I said, Eileen, I got my window smashed. She goes, Glenn, I don't think you can claim another one. You're going to get dropped. Like, you got to just pay for this one. Really? She goes, yeah, you're going to have to just pay for this one.
At the time, we were sort of poor, so I didn't I was driving a little Omni. I just used to leave the thing open.
Sort of poor. We were very poor.
I used to leave it open. And I remember the one time I had a whole thing of change. And on the way home, I'm like, I'll grab a cup of coffee. I look at my change. It's all gone. I forgot. I left the door open, but they'd help themselves all the change. And you feel violated. I mean,
you do.
Even without your window, it's like, what are you doing in my car? You know, you dirtbag.
Just frustrating.
We'll wrap up here. Elon Musk to visit southern border in Texas as migrant numbers hit new records. So Elon, I give him credit. At least somebody's going to visit the border. Now, it's not his job.
Kamala was there, though, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, she's in charge of the border, right? She's now in charge of gun control, by the way. So if that goes as well as the border has gone, then it's going to be everyone's going to be packing heat, and it'll be the Wild West out
there. It's amazing, though. You listen to these Democrats, and like, there's no problem at the border.
No.
New drone footage reveals hundreds of migrants on trains headed for Eagle Pass, Texas.
What's even worse, you got the feds.
4,000 a day, they're saying. 4,000 a day.
You got the feds on video cutting the barbed wire.
Letting them in.
That Texas has put down.
Yeah.
That's treasonous.
Now, I know some of those feds are probably sick to their stomach because they've signed up
to
defend
us
and protect us.
Well, they shouldn't do it. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you're not making that much money. If you hired me and said, Glenn, I need you to go out there and stomp this puppy's head in, I'm not doing it.
No.
If you say to me, Glenn, I want you to go out there and do something unethical, I'm not doing it. I remember being at Payne Weber when the off manager said, Glenn and Mike, I want you to go out and sell this strategy fund. And we said, no.
It's garbage. Yeah.
It's garbage. It's unethical. We didn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Look, if you want to know how evil people can be, go read Common Men, I think it's called. It's a book about Nazi Germany and the normal people that they just, bakers, shoemakers, normal people in the community that they recruited to become the killing machines.
Have you ever had the
that
chance
were shooting
to listen,
children in the head?
Listen to some of the trials. It's really amazing.
It's crazy.
The people are like, yeah, but the government forced me to do this. Like you're putting me on trial to do this, and the government, and to your point, it's like, man, you mean to tell me none of you thought this was a bad idea?
Well, there was three groups of people, and what they did was this book, Common Men. It was basically written from the notes. So they did a bunch of interviews of these officers and these, this police troop. It was about this, police troop that they put together and the way that they organized it.
Yeah,
There's all these interviews of the people that were part of this one troop, and they took from those interviews and basically pieced together what they did. And it was – so you ended up having within this group three different groups of people, right? There were the people that were happy to do it, Right. Those are the ones that are the police officers that are, you know, you see them that are arresting mom for pushing their daughter on a swing because the park is closed.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are, we don't want them anywhere near power. Yeah. Honestly, those are the people that need to be weeded out of every, those are the ones that are the, that give every police department a bad name in the country. Those people need to be removed from any sort of power over other people completely.
Yep.
That was one group. You had another group that were basically, I'm not going to participate to the best of my ability, but I'm not going to say anything either. Like, they were just, you know, they were the useful idiots.
Yeah.
And sadly, that's half of our country.
Like, oh, at least.
I'm just going to close my eyes. And,
at least.
You know what? It doesn't, yeah, I know kids are getting raped. And, oh, we've lost 87,000 kids, Mike. Yeah. 87,000 children that have come across the southern border. Ugh. We cannot account for.
Ugh.
And half the country's going, man, I don't know. I don't think there's a problem down there. I'm going to turn a blind eye.
Imagine that.
It's sad.
Yeah.
And then the third group, of course, was the smallest group. And those are the ones that actively said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I am not doing this.
Right.
Find me another position. And they didn't participate at all, and they were even objectors to it.
I do remember we talked about this.
But that was a small group.
I said it reminds me of everything in life, by the way. And I used the analogy of garbage. I don't know if you remember this, but that morning before we did the radio show, I had taken a jog. And every time I run, whether I'm in Alma by my house or in Jupiter, Florida down by our office, I bring a garbage bag. And I pick up the garbage. And every time somebody will say, hey, thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
But these are the same people that walk by the garbage, right? And I'm like, okay, literally, who's throwing the garbage on the ground? Well, that's a very small group of people, right?
Yep.
Very small group of dirtbags that think it's a good idea to take their stuff and just throw it wherever they want, right? But there's this huge group of people that know it's
looking
wrong.
At it.
They look at
They're
it.
Walking right by
They see me, and I'm like,
stepping
you're
over, shake their head going, man, somebody should do something.
Right, somebody should do
something. Somebody should clean
and
that
it's,
up.
It's literally 8 out of 10 people. So you've got 1 out of 10 of us cleaning the stuff up. You've got 1 out of 10 throwing the garbage on the ground. And you've got 8 out of 10 going, yep, somebody should do something about that. Like, really, I'm thinking, holy crap, am I the only one that just bends over and grabs it?
You know? That's perfect microcosm of life right there.
That's
exactly.
I thought the whole world is garbage.
That's
really.
It.
It's all about that. It's like,
that's
and most
exactly
of the people are just going to sit around and make it happen.
That's exactly right.
All right. Oh, don't forget Medicare season, by the way. Tis the season for that. Turning 65, you got to think of the financial guys. And get, if you want a complimentary review of your Medicare, and I would encourage you to do that almost every year, you should spend a few minutes and just make sure you're in the right plan. Make sure you're playing the what if game. What if this happens? What if I go to Florida for a few days? Am I covered? Where? What if if I get sick with this? Am I covered? Do I have the ability to change throughout the year? Did I sign up the right way? Right? All that kind of stuff. We have AHIP certified reps. That's what they focus on throughout the year. That's all they do. And a good opportunity. But get on the list now. Every time this year, you know, October hits and people wait until December, I can tell you the last few weeks are just brutal to get in. So get on the list now, 833-FIN-GUYS.
We got to end with this. Can I borrow the cord for a second?
Yeah,
this is really unbelievable. This is this happened in Canada, and you know, this is what happens, folks, when we don't teach history anymore, I guess. This is the celebration of a SS Nazi
here in
guard.
The chamber
here
today, Ukrainian Canadian world veteran from the Second World War who fought the Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today. Even at his age of 98.
Wow. Amazing.
Amazing.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Let's hear about him.
What an asset.
Wow.
An asset.
Amazing. Yeah, somebody should let him know that the Russians were our allies in World War II, not the Germans. I don't know if he got that memo. Maybe not.
This guy.
Standing ovation for this guy. Let's see if they go. Here, wait, so he talks more here.
His name is Yaroslav Hunka. And I was going to say he's in the gallery, but I think you beat me to that.
Yeah, he's here.
But I'm very proud to say that he is from North Bay and from my riding of Nipissing-Temiskaming.
Yeah, so you got a nice, you got SS Nazi.
Yeah.
That fought against the Russians.
Yeah, there you go.
Living in Canada.
SS Nazi.
Being celebrated. Yeah, he was
nice.
Part of the, yeah, this is great. He was unbelievable. He's a hero.
Hey, you know what? Maybe next time he can help with the mask mandates. Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really can't make this stuff up, folks.
This is Nazi.
Like, I don't know. Again, let's just go back to history. So there was the Allies and the Axis of Evil, right?
Yeah.
Now, the evil ones, that was Germany.
Right.
Japan.
That was that guy.
Who today is our ally. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy right there.
Right there.
That guy, yeah, right there. And the Italians, right? So you had Italy, Japan, and Germany. That was the axis of evil that we were fighting against, right? Now, today, all three of those countries are our allies, and Russia's our enemy. But Russia was a huge part of us defeating the Nazis, right? They fought on the Eastern Front against the Germans.
Nazis, not good guys.
So the SS guard that they're celebrating in Canada, commie Justin, you would think, though, Justin Trudeau would be a bigger Russian fan, considering he's a commie himself.
Yeah.
No. It's Russia, Russia, Russia. The best part is...
You're taking a lot of heat for that, by the way.
The best part is, though, when they asked him about it. Here's an answer, this clown.
Yeah, he spins
this
it.
Is great. This is great.
The speaker has... Obviously, it's extremely upsetting that this happened.
Yeah.
The speaker has acknowledged his mistake.
Whoops.
And has apologized. But this is something that is deeply embarrassing to the Parliament of Canada and, by extension, to all Canadians.
But
I think particularly of Jewish MPs and all members of the Jewish community across the country who are celebrating commemorating Yom Kippur today. I think it's going to be really important that all of us push back against Russian propaganda.
Russia's fault.
Continue our steadfast, unequivocal support for Ukraine.
Uh huh.
So you guys celebrated a Nazi SS military person, 98-year-old, on Yom Kippur, but it's the Russians' fault.
Yeah, Russian propaganda.
You have reached peak stupid.
Good luck, Canada.
You have reached peak stupid, honest to God.
Good luck.
Good luck, Canada.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
Holy smokes. All right, that's going to do it for us, folks. If you like what you heard, do us a favor. Give us a like and share this with your friends. If you haven't downloaded our app, it's awesome. Download the Financial Guys app. You can listen to our radio shows live. You can go back and listen to our podcast. You can listen to the Morning Mike program. You can go back and get replays. You can get links to all the different stuff that we have. So, again, go to the App Store, Apple App Store, or the Google Android Store. You can download the Financial Guys app and listen to our podcast each and every week, and we do appreciate it. So we will see you, I guess, on Saturday. Don't forget, Morning Mike's on Friday. Another interview podcast dropped tomorrow, and more content coming each and every day through our social media sites. Go to financialguysmedia.com for all of our links to Twitter and Facebook and all those cool places, and we'll see you on Saturday right here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.